Today on the Av Podcast, we break down the NFL playoffs so far, right before the Super Bowl. Now, this episode was recorded on Thursday, just this past Thursday, but due to some technical difficulties, I'm not able to put out the visual portion of it. So this episode won't be on YouTube, at least not visually anyway, but it still will be on there for the ears. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Alexa, wherever you get your podcasts, listening wise, you can still be able to get this episode. But once again, we break down the coaching hires, you know, including the Mike McCarthy hire with the Steelers. We break down the NFC Championship games and where the six losing teams in the last two rounds go from here. All right. Once again, you can check the catalog over at SouthShireAv.com. Once again, that is SouthShireAv.com. Yeah, we're going to be wrapping up the NFL season shortly with some Super Bowl talk. The Super Bowl preview is going to be coming out on Friday. Normally, I do a live stream. If I don't do the live stream, the episode will be out on Monday morning in terms of the Super Bowl, the post-game Super Bowl episode that I annually do every year. So that one will be out on Monday morning. But I'll keep you posted if we end up doing a live stream or not. But with that said, please enjoy this episode. There's not going to be an outro for this episode this week. But please enjoy this one as always. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate the listeners as always. But like I said, unfortunately, there's technical difficulties, so I just couldn't put this one on the YouTubes as I would normally do at this stage of the game now. But enjoy this one nonetheless, all right? It's the Av Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Av Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Av Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast, where I'm joined by the South Shore family members at the stage of the game. Please welcome Mr. Roger Callender, Mr. Kerry Joseph. How you guys doing today, man?
Yes, sir.
Good. Good, 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 Kelsey. Good, 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 man.
Big Roger, what up?
Roger, I got to say, congratulations, man. Your Patriots pulled it off. Must be happy. Listen, as hell. It took 7 long years. 7 long years of hard work.
Listen, man, it wasn't the prettiest game, but damn, situation football at its best, man.
Yeah,
they pulled it out. They made it happen, man. Crazy.
Yep.
I have to admit, I didn't see this happening.
The winter weather, man. Like,
yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know how y'all play in that, man. I don't know how football players play in that. That's crazy.
Listen, man, I played a game like that one time when I was a lot younger. And, man, halftime we had to go in. We had to change all our clothes, put on new socks because everything was just drenching wet and cold. It was not a fun game, man, honestly. It was similar to that game, too, actually. We couldn't even see the hash marks on the field.
Yeah,
they literally had somebody had to go and they had to take a shovel and shovel the lines so that we could see where exactly we were going. It was crazy.
It looks fun though. It looks fun to play in.
No, it's not fun. It's not fun. It's not fun. It just, but the cold signifies championship time.
Exactly.
So the football means the most when it's usually cold. So, but it's not fun playing in the cold. The hits hurt a little bit more.
Yeah.
You get a helmet on the hands. It feels like your hand's broken. Like,
yeah.
It's hard slipping to catch your DB. You're slipping and yeah, losing traction. And
yeah,
you can't really run full speed because you have to be under control. You'll wipe out. Like, it just, it's not fun.
That's that. Are the hits harder? It feels worse, right? The
hits feel harder, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Everything just gets numb. Picture yourself outside in the cold, shoveling, how cold your hands get. You know, wind is whipping at your face.
Feet are wet.
Yeah, you're wet. Your feet are wet. Like, it's really not fun to play in. It's actually, it's definitely geared more towards a run game versus a pass game. That's for sure. You know, even the ball feels like a cold rock. It's just getting past you. It's It's not fun, man. It's definitely not fun at all. But like Kerry said, it signifies championship football.
Championship man. Time, man.
Championship time. Yeah.
Who wants it most?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They did a great job. They did a great job. They found a way to win. And, you know, the stats might not look the best compared to the other game, the Seattle and Rams game. But, I mean, they find a way to win. And it's crazy because from the first quarter all the way to the third quarter, you know, it seemed like it was cold, but, you know, they were still able to play. And then all of a sudden, like mid-third quarter, it's like the sky just opened up and it started snowing and it was a blizzard. You know, you couldn't move the ball. You couldn't do anything. It was difficult to just get your footing under you, almost practically impossible to pass. Like, it was a crazy game, man. It's Denver. Denver.
It just crept up, though, because you saw, like, it went from, like, clear to, like, halfway through the third quarter, it was a blizzard. You're like, yo, what the heck just happened? and you figured, because it was 10-7 at that point, right? You figured right from there, it was like, you kind of knew, like, that was it for Denver. Like, Stidham had nothing after that once it started snowing.
Listen, Sean Payton,
it was over after that.
Should have taken the damn points, man. I mean, Sean Payton got greedy, and that's one of the reasons why they lost the game in the first place. Like,
absolutely.
He should have kicked that field goal. I sat there and I watched it, and I was like, okay. To me, I was happy as hell because that means that's one more chance for my team to stop them when they're literally on, I think they were on like the 14-yard line or something like that, or 12-yard line, and it was a long 1 yard. And instead of kicking the field goal and taking the points, they decided to go for it. And even that play they called, it wasn't even closed. I mean, I was ecstatic when I saw that. Because at that point, the Patriots really weren't playing that well. I mean, they weren't playing good at all. The offense wasn't moving the ball at all. You know, if it wasn't for that turnover by Stidham, you know, and then a few key plays in the second quarter, they probably wouldn't have won that game. But I mean, football is a game of inches. And when it comes to situational football, the Patriots are fantastic.
Yeah.
Vrabel knows exactly what to do at an exact right time. So that's how they won.
Yeah. Facts.
You know, we were talking about the cold, and we were talking about the Patriots a little bit. I know we're going to get into some football, but let's talk about the elephant in the room, man. Let's talk about Jordan's boyfriend. Let's talk about Bill Belichick. What the hell happened with the Hall of Fame? You guys discuss. You guys go, because I don't get it. I'm not even going to pretend to get it.
There's always going to be a few haters, man. Always.
Yeah, yeah. I think
haters go hate.
Yeah, haters
hate.
So haters ball. Belichick is definitely.
I hate all your guts.
Media don't like him. Peers don't like him. Yeah, they're definitely.
That's what happens when you win and you're dominant.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah.
It's funny though because I, you know, in hearing all the conversation the last day or so, like, you know that there is a process to how this thing works. I know some of it is based on, but I didn't realize that you can only only one coach a year can go in, right? So if there's certain other coaches that are like waiting on this list, they get pushed down the list longer. And if say like they're in their last year or second to last year being on the ballot, then they may not have a chance if somebody like Belichick gets in. You know, at the same time, look, if you're taking that long to get on the list, like to make it, then, you know, maybe you're not really Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? If it's taking you 13, 14, 15 years and you got to wait on that list that long, then, you know, it kind of sucks, but
it's not
it is what it is. Like, for Belichick not to get on the list, I mean, I'm not sure what else you're supposed to do to be first ballot. And I mean, football and Major League Baseball are the two hardest Hall of Fames to get in. You know, the process is very strong. Like, the limits to get in there is super strong. But you can't, like, a guy got 8 titles. The man's play call sheet from the when he was a defensive coordinator of the Giants is in the Hall of Fame. The play call is in the Hall of Fame, much less everything else he did in his career.
You know what I mean? So, like, you can, and I heard some of it was like, you can blame Spygate, you can blame Deflategate and all that stuff. But okay, but the guy still won 3-4 more Super Bowls after that anyway.
Exactly.
So, what do
you
say to that?
And that's the funny thing, Calvin. Like, I mean, the Hall of Fame is supposed to be merit based, right? It's not a popularity contest. You know, you don't give it to the prettiest girl. You know, it's supposed to be based off the stats, and it should be based off of the career of the person and not just one moment, one bad moment or whatnot, right? So I mean, it's just crazy when you look at all the statistics, like you just named, you know, 8-time Super Bowl winner, you know, guy's got his whole defensive scheme, his whole defensive playbook was literally in the Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame. It just makes it ridiculous, because if he doesn't get in, then who should be getting in, if that's the case, right? Yeah, it makes no sense to me. I understand that there's a lot of hurt feelings, probably throughout the years, a lot of jealousy out there, simply for the fact that they won so much. And, you know, NFL basically, they actually changed rules because of some of the plays that Belichick created. Like, he recognized loopholes in the system that the NFL literally had to change the next year because they didn't even realize that it was a loophole. So, I mean, he literally changed the face of the game. And the fact that they're keeping him out is, yeah, it's unfair and it's stupid. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, man, it's just people hating, man. It's what Raj said, it should be on merit. It should be on what you put down. That's his legacy. If anyone deserves to get unanimous, it's him. So if he doesn't get it, no one should get it. They've made it like a little bit of a farce, because then it's like, it's politics. It's not about who really deserves it. It's people politicking for their guys. That's why I got to hate on Belichick, because I want to get my guy in.
Yeah, so I think Carrie's having some technical difficulty issues right now. So hopefully he'll be back on the show. If not, then we'll kind of drag on without him. If he can't get in one more time, but back to the Belichick thing. I mean, Roger. I mean, is there a way that we can know which people voted for him? Like, that's the thing. I think that's the coward thing of when these things happen. Like, you don't get to face the music, so to speak. You know what I mean? When you make these decisions, and it's not like you want to throw stones at these guys either. I mean, your decision is your decision, but yeah, it's just that you kind of get to throw stones and hide your hands at the same time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think if you're balls enough to make that type of decision, I think you should be able to defend it. That's what I think. You know, let everybody know why exactly you didn't vote that way, right? This isn't some sort of hidden ballot, some clandestine, you know, ballot going on with people just, you know, putting in these secret votes. I think it should be out in the open. I think everybody should know where you stand. I mean, if you're going to keep him out because of Spygate or because of, I don't know, Deflategate or whatever other gate you could come up with, then be man enough to back it up and say so, right?
No, facts. Because like I said, I think, was he a vote short or something like that? Like, it's... Either way, yeah, it's nuts. But I mean, it's football though, because you've seen some guys who you thought for sure was first ballot Hall of Famers, and then all of a sudden you're like, what? Like Terrell Owens is a big example. Like,
perfect
example. He never got in first ballot. That is insane. You know what I mean? It didn't matter what kind of person he was, because listen, you have drug users, domestic violence abusers, you have all kinds of different people and characters. I mean, there was a murderer that's in the Hall of Fame right now. You know what I mean? Well, no. And they get in first ballot. So,
yeah.
So what is it about, really? You know?
Yeah. I think they just need to plain change the format. That's what I think. I think it should not be a popularity contest. It should be based on merit. You know, and I mean, yeah, because there's no reason why Terrell Owens should have. But he didn't get in until maybe 4 or 5 years down the line. And this is after people were complaining, fans were creating a uproar.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, statistically, there's, you know, he's, yeah, Terrell Owens was one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. And truth be told, a lot of the drama that happened around him it wasn't just him by himself. It wasn't just him in a vacuum, right? So, I mean, you need to take that out, because no NFL player is perfect. So if you're trying to look for the perfect player, it doesn't exist.
No, I mean, think about it. Remember even Chris Carter? Like, Chris Carter took like 6-7 tries to get in. You're like, man, I used to watch Chris Carter like most of his career. And I are one of the best wide receivers that you were watching week to week. Like he was in the top 3, if not top 5. Even later in his career, he was still like a Pro Bowler wide receiver. So it made no sense. Like, when he was in Minnesota and he kind of passed the torch a little bit to Moss, he was still the guy. Even though Moss is like a supernova, he was still the guy, you know? So, like, but you see these football players, and I remember Chris Carter took a long time to get in. But you see some of these guys, and it's really hard. The process is really hard to get in. But, like with Belichick, I mean, again, you've won the most titles by far of any coach ever. How do you not... Like, just how is it possible? It doesn't make any sense. And it's like, who did he piss off? Was the last few years of some of the scandals, like the PR from, like, the stuff with his girlfriend and stuff, like, did that have an effect? Like, you kind of gotta wonder, right?
Yeah, it's hard to figure it out. And I mean, when people
are Jordan to blame,
I think you blame it on Jordan, man. I think Jordan's the one who created all this drama. No, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's one of those things. I mean, you know, they can't keep him out of the Hall of Fame. It's sad that it's not going to be first ballot, but at this point, it kind of is what it is. I still think they need to just reformat that whole process. And it looks like they recently reformatted it, too. I think they said it would reformat back in 2025, like last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. They need to look at that.
That's true. Sure. Yeah, it's bad. Like, it's a bad look for the league, because I mean, it's funny because they say no press is bad press is still good press, and some of the backlash they've been getting from across all sports, from athletes, actors, like different things. So it's like it's a bad look, but at the same time, like, the NFL always finds a way to just, you know, dust his shoulders off and keep it moving. So it's like, it doesn't really hurt it at the same time with all this bad publicity for the Hall of Fame. I don't know, because it just seems like they just kind of dusted off. But I think the only thing that's bad is, like, this draft, this Hall of Fame class is forever going to be associated, especially the nominees that get in. They're forever going to be associated with the guy that didn't get in. You know what I mean? So this is going to be the class that Belichick didn't make it in. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're kind of taking a little bit of shine away from them. I say a little bit because you're still a Hall of Famer. That's not going to hurt you at the end of the day. But, like, it takes a little bit of shine off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, at the end of the day, the NFL is a business. They're just going to keep it moving anyways. But I mean, when you look at it, you know, the newscasters, the sportscasters, previous athletes, coaches, they're the ones that are basically balking at it. You know, a lot of the fans are balking at it as well, too. But, you know, there's also a good section of fans that are happy about this because they hate the Patriots and they hate Belichick. So they're pretty much just cheering this on.
But that's the thing. But even if you're hating on Belichick, though, like, I mean, you got to listen. I know we're going to get into some of the loser categories. I'm a Niners fan. Let's face it. I haven't had a good couple of weeks. I'm probably not going to have a good next week either when the Super Bowl is played at our home stadium. You know what I mean? But you can acknowledge, like, for example, like, you can acknowledge that, pay respect where respect is due. Listen, I rooted against the Legion of Boom, but secretly, like, I thought those guys were dope. If they weren't in my division, I would love the Legion of Boom, but they were in my division. So I didn't, you know, I don't have as much love for them. But if you're asking me if those guys should go in the Hall of Fame, I'm going to say, yeah, they were amazing. Yeah. You got to call a spade at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to put your prejudice aside. You have to recognize greatness. And regardless of what sport it is, regardless of whether if they're not on your team or not, you still got to recognize it. Because you never know when you're going to ever see it again. That's my whole thing, right?
Yeah, he doesn't grow on trees. You know what I mean? Like, think of the amount of active coaches that has more than one ring in the NFL right now. Other than, like, what is it, just Andy Reid? He's the only one, right? I believe.
I think Andy Reid is the only one.
I think so. The only one, only active one that has more than one championship at this point.
Sean Payton, Mike McCarthy, 1-1. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a very, yeah, it's, it's, yeah, it definitely doesn't happen too often. And I mean, he's part of a very exclusive club, that's for sure. And I think he was also the coach of the year three times within his career too. So, I mean, that's hard to do as well.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, cause I laugh at the Steelers selection. Cause, with them picking Mike McCarthy as their coach, like moving along to active coaches, like now he's back active again. And, you know, we always joke about how these coaches just get recycled. It's comical to me. But at the very least, he at least won one ring. You know what I mean? He probably will still have a chance to go in the Hall of Fame at some point, just on a couple of Super Bowl appearances. You know what I mean? He does anything with the Steelers, he's definitely going to get in. And that's if he wins, an extra one. And that'll just mean two.
Yeah, Calvin, I can't explain that one, man. Like, the Steelers have such a great track record with their coaches. Hell, they've only had two coaches in the past, 30 years? Mike McCarthy is like, this guy's getting passed around like a flipping, like a joint guy. You know, this guy goes from Green Bay to the Cowboys, and now he's a Steeler. It's like, fuck, man. Yep. I know there's other coaches out there. Like, why don't you give a young coach a chance? Like, I did not see that one coming. I have to admit, I did not see that coming. I don't know, man. When some of these coaches have losing records and they're just not winning, like, they might be good at certain things, but they're not good at everything. I feel like, you know, you should give other coaches a chance. And especially with the Steelers, too, because they have such a rich history. That hire just, I don't know, man. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
It's funny because I think the one thing that this is showing you right here is that the Steelers are no longer going for tradition. You know what I mean? Because think about it. They've only had three coaches in the history of the franchise. For you to grab a 62-year-old coach, you're bucking tradition. You're basically becoming like all the other franchises that are like, they're just about results. You're going to get rid of the coach in 3 to 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, the only way this works to me is if you're grooming his like predecessor. But once you, like, at this stage, just get the predecessor, right? Like,
exactly.
Because we were saying earlier, this job is the job that prior to this hire, you might have this job for the next 2 decades if you're running it well. You know what I mean? Even if you're running it decently, you're probably gonna have this job for like 10 years. You know what I mean? So like, that's a coveted position to have as a head coach. So to me, by them doing that, they just broke tradition. Like, at this point now, like, what we're going to see going forward is they're going to be like every 3 to 5 years, hey, we want this guy gone, we're going to get him gone. You know what I mean? Like, to me, to that point, I think this is why I'm kind of surprised they made the hire so fast. I figured because of the tradition, take your time and try to get the right younger coach. And then plug them in there, and you know what I mean? Because it's not like the team is like a player away from winning the title. They got some pieces to get in the draft or on the free agency list. Like they have some. They're like the mediocre team, as we could see, right? So they're not really close to really winning a title. So just get somebody that can set the culture the right way at a younger age, and just work around that. Like I was so surprised when they got McCarthy. Yeah. I was like, I felt like they kind of. It's the pick.
I feel like they kind of rushed it. They saw all the coaches getting picked up, and they saw Mike McCarthy, and they're like, okay, cool, you could be our coach, right? You know, and just from a different perspective, from Mike McCarthy's perspective, like, that's going to be a tough – Mike Tomlin is a very tough act to follow. Like, what does success look like to Mike McCarthy? You know, they're not going to – if he has a losing season next year or the year after that
– yeah.
Yo, Steeler Nation is going to come for his ass. Like, they were a playoff team. They've been a playoff team. They've had a winning record for the whole existence since Tomlin was there. And that was, 18, 19 years? If Mike McCarthy goes in and he shits the bed, because right now he has no quarterback, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to come back to that team, especially with how things ended with them. I don't think he's going to come back to the team. Mm. And even if he does, I still don't see them winning. So what's going to happen next year? You got a 62-year-old coach you have no quarterback, and you have a legacy of winning going back for the past 18 to 19 years, you're not going to be like, oh, well, you know what? Next year, we'll give you a pass if you guys don't have a winning record or you suck or whatnot. If they end up being terrible next year, Calvin, he's probably going to get fired, like literally. Because coaches, they're getting fired like crazy, left, right, and center right now, man. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out, honestly. I would have preferred them just bring in a young coach, have him struggle for a year, hopefully get a really good draft pick next year, pick up a quarterback, or pick up quarterback this year, have him struggle through the year, but at least you know that you have that, you know, you have 2 to 3 years possibly where you could bring him up, you could coach him up, and hopefully, you know, get the team moving. But I don't see any of that happen with Mike McCarthy. You don't bring in somebody like Mike McCarthy just to lose. You don't.
Like McCarthy's like comfort food at this stage. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, it's there. You can have it. You're probably, you can do better, but it's there. You're going to eat it.
Yeah, it's like bland oatmeal. You know, it's not bad for you.
Feel better in the moment, but, you know, 2 weeks from now, you're going to be like, ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that, man. I agree with that. I think there was a lot of other people that they could have hired for that role, but, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'll tell you that much, because, I don't know. Mike McCarthy is no Tomlin. That's for sure. He's like probably, if I had to say anything, he's not anti-Tomlin. He's like completely opposite. Tomlin is like a leader of men. Mike McCarthy is not that. You know, they probably brought him in because they know that, you know, if they bring in a quarterback, he might be able to coach them up. But aside from that,
he hasn't proven. And the funny thing is, though, he got to coach 3 flagship franchises for the league, right? Pittsburgh, Dallas, and Green Bay.
Yeah.
Like to have that on your resume in itself, like, I mean, that's crazy. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, because I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, this is comfort food, man. It's like eating a burger. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this isn't a home cooked meal. You know what this is? You know, it's gonna feed you. It's gonna make you feel good in the moment, but long term, is it gonna do well for you? We kind of know the answer already. We've seen this story before, right?
And at some point, you have to look at his track record, too. I mean, that's the one thing I don't understand. Like, they basically kicked him out of Green Bay. He went to Dallas. He was basically Jerry Jones's puppet for the past, 2, maybe 3 years, I think. They kicked him out as well. And now it's like, okay, Steelers just picked this man up. Like, they picked him up out of the rubbish bin, guy. They dust him off and said, okay, you're our new head coach. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of, I find it strange just simply for the fact that when you're looking at the league, like look on the popular teams right now. You got Ben Johnson with Chicago. You know, you got Vrabel with the Patriots. You got, what's his name with Seattle? The new head coach for Seattle that just started this year, rookie head coach.
Mike McDonald.
Like all the teams that are coming up, they have new coaches. And, you know, they have new coaches, they have a quarterback, and you could see they've developed the team. Mike McCarthy is not that. He's not something new. He's not new and shiny. He's not a great play caller. He's not a defensive guru. You know, he's great with quarterbacks. I'll give him that. But aside from that, yeah, I don't know. I don't like it.
And that's what I like with Pittsburgh. I'm like, you remember when all the fans were chanting for Tomlin to get fired? I'm like, this is your king? This is the guy that you wanted? This is what you was rooting for? Like, good luck to you.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck with you guys. Like I said, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next year. That's for sure.
And then also, too, because, I mean, obviously the Pittsburgh is one of the losing teams in this playoffs this year, obviously. But with the 6 latest losing teams in the playoffs in the last 2 rounds, where do those losing teams go from here? And fuck it, I'll start. Like I said, I'm a Niners guy. You know, am I happy to see Seattle in the Super Bowl?
Probably not.
am I bitter that 2 of my division rivals were fighting for the right to go to the NFC champ to win the NFC championship? Yeah, I'm about 150% bitter. I'm not gonna lie to you.
How could you not?
You at all? But you know what? At the same time, though, this is something I was saying, though, that like I felt like I felt like the one that's going to represent the NFC is going to come out of the West. Mm. I just felt like one of those three teams is going to do it. You know what I mean? And I got to call spade a spade. Roger, I didn't know, like I said, we discussed this before. I didn't know Seattle's defense was like that, man. Like, it was good. I knew it was good, but I felt like, you know what I mean? At the same time, too, it was like they were hot towards the end of the season. Yeah. But it's like, I felt like their defense just, man, it kind of felt like they almost went another level the last, like, month.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. I didn't think they were that good either, to be honest with you. But, I mean, seeing them play, oh, they have it all, man. You know, their DBs are solid. Their linebackers are excellent. You know, they have good pass rushers. Their lead D-line is pretty good as well. Yeah, I mean, they're overall, they have a great defense, surprisingly. I didn't think they were that good, to be honest with you. I watched a few Seattle games, and I did see, you know, Darnold, especially towards the end of the season, I saw Darnold kind of had a few moments where he wasn't playing his best football. Like he's one of the few quarterbacks in the league that has, you know, he has over 14 interceptions. I guess he has like 4 or 5 fumbles. Like, he does turn over the ball quite a bit.
Yeah.
But the past couple of games, he's played really, really well. Like, he played LA very, very well. Like, 400 yards, what, 3 or 4 touchdowns. Like, he played really, really well. But Seattle's all defense. Yeah. I can't say they're the Legion of Boom because I don't think they're that good, but they're definitely good enough to win a Super Bowl and good enough to beat a lot of good teams. So,
and it's funny because Steve Young, he was on PTI earlier today, and he did say something that I agree with, where he's like with the Seahawks, he feels like they're just discovering how good they are. You know what I mean? Like, there was, like I said, I feel like in the last month, they ran with like a different level of swagger that you didn't see like earlier this season. You know what I mean? Or even like halfway through the season, but you're seeing it now, and it's like, and to your point, I don't know if it's Legion of Boom, but I don't think it's too far off, especially that front four. That front four, like the Rams, is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. They
disrupt. They don't have to even run blitzes. Like, they disrupt. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they more turned it on in the playoffs, which is what good teams do, right? You know, during the year, you don't normally see everything, right? You don't see all the play calls. You don't see everything. But once you get to the playoffs and it's either win or go home, that's when these teams go all out. And that's where you see, like, the best teams kind of rise to the top, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like, when I look at the losing teams, I'm like, to me, I'm like, it's interesting because I think with the Niners, they gotta figure out some things. Health is definitely one thing.
Yeah,
I don't know if the quote unquote rumors are true. Like, if the rumors are true, and you know, I don't know, you might want to figure that out too. And a lot of people listening and watching, so you could look that up on your own to see what I'm talking about, but. But I feel like all the losing teams the last couple of rounds, like, they're just in tinker mode. They're not in like
rebuild.
Oh my God, we got to tear this down. Like, all of them are in a position, kind of stand pat and just kind of make sure Stafford's healthy. You got to just make sure that the secondary, maybe tighten up the secondary a little bit, you know. Who's the other teams?
Texans.
Houston, same thing. Just get an old line, get a couple of a strong line. Stroud, you know, make him stop seeing ghosts that he's been seeing the last 2 years now. He's starting to hit the, like, I was telling a friend of mine, he's becoming the Ozzy Brothers. He's hearing footsteps in the dark. Like, this is where this guy's becoming right now.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, the one thing I can say about CJ Stroud is, you know, watching that game where they went against the Patriots, I felt sorry for him. I did, honestly. And I know Patriots are my team, and you know, I love to watch them beat on anybody, but I just felt that everything was kind of put on him. Like, I mean, for instance, you're a quarterback, a third-year quarterback, you're in the playoffs, your O-line is about 25th in the league in terms of their ranking, your starting left tackle, he's out, So they have the backup in there. The backup gets injured within the first quarter. So they move the left guard over to the tackle and they bring in the backup left guard. On top of that, your number one wide receiver, Nico Collins, he's out. Your number one tight end, he gets taken out within the first quarter. Yeah, there's no run game, basically no run game, because the Patriots, they basically destroyed the offensive line to the point where there was zero run game. And then everything's left on you all by yourself. Like, I mean, people want to blame him, and I get why they blame him, because he did not play well. But this guy had pressure in his face every single play, like every single play, right? His wide receivers weren't getting any separation. He basically had his third, fourth string wide receivers in there. And I don't know, just the flack that he got over that game, I don't know. I felt bad for him because I'm like, you didn't really give this guy much to work with. Even the right from the O-line, like his O-line was terrible. And you and I, we've spoken about this over the past couple of years. Like they've traded away his O-line to the point where he doesn't really have any all-stars left. And I don't know. I don't know what they expected to do. The whole reason why they were inside of that playoff game was because of their defense. And that was it. Their defense was that good, that dominating. But it had nothing to do with the offense.
I think what you saw with Stroud was 2 years of accumulation of footsteps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At a certain point, you're starting to see quite there at times, even though he's still solid. But it's affecting his decision-making at this point now.
You know Absolutely. What I mean? Absolutely. It's, you know what? It's funny because when I think of how do you ruin a young quarterback, the Texans did basically everything they could do to ruin this guy, honestly. They traded away his O-line. His wide receivers have been in and out of the lineup, in and out, in and out. They brought in Stephon Diggs for a year. Stephon Diggs did really well. They ended up getting rid of Stephon Diggs at the end of the year. You know, Tank Dell was in there. Tank Dell got injured. Tank Bedell hasn't paid for a year. You know, Nico Collins. Nico Collins keeps getting injured. He's in and out of the lineup. Like, there's no stability to that offense at all. And now they've fired their OC, and they're bringing in the third OC they've had in the past, I think, past 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they were expecting from C.J. Stroud. I don't know what they were expecting. I mean, obviously, he did not play well, and I'll give him that. A lot of that is on him as well. But I don't know too many quarterbacks that could play with under that much pressure and be successful.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, you're right. Like, they left a lot on him. And then even same thing with the Bills. The Bills are in a position where it's like tinkering, right? Like, they just got a new coach. They got to get a number one wideout. They got to get somebody on the outside because their tight ends seem to be solid now, but they need a number one. They need a number one. They need a number one wideout. They need somebody on the outside or just a number one wideout that just takes pressure and just puts everybody else back in there. Because, like, I still think they put too much on Allen. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to share that load. I think they put way too much on him. Like, as good as he is, he does way too much.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So maybe the next coach could come and fix that. Hopefully.
I think the Bills are another team that are basically, you know, a few pieces away from definitely getting to the big game, getting to the AFC championship. I'm not sure if getting rid of their head coach was the right move, to be honest with you. I do kind of understand why they did it, because they were in a similar situation as Pittsburgh with Tomlin in terms of them being good enough to make the playoffs, but not good enough to actually get them over. But I mean, when I look at it, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I don't see the problem with the coach. I see more of a problem with the quarterback, basically. You know, and also a lack of talent. Like, they had a really good run game, but as you said, they need a number one wide receiver badly. They need an A.J. Brown. They need somebody to step in there and kind of be the top dog there, and that's the one thing that Josh Allen did not have this year. But aside from that, I think Josh also, I don't know, man, too many turnovers. Too many turnovers. He reminded me of the old Josh Allen before Stephon Diggs came onto the team. Like, I don't know if you remember how bad he was when he first came into the league. That's kind of what he reminded me of. I mean, he had like 4 or 5 turnovers, and some of them were just stupid turnovers. You know, getting stripped on like the 12-yard line with 10 seconds left, and this guy holding the ball like how, you know, you're holding a piece of like a loaf of bread. Like, I mean, just stupid stuff like that. I feel like those are just mental errors that this guy needs to push through. Like, he literally got his coach fired, because I'm pretty sure that was like the last straw. So I don't know. They promote the OC. They made the OC. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but you know, I still think that they're going to be in contention. They just need a few more pieces.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, the window's still there for them, but it's something that, you know, we had this discussion before. But you know, I always say, like, when it comes to winning, you know, it's that window's there. But in professional sports, the window's never open as long as you think it is. When you're there and you can get through the window, go through it. Go through that sliding door, because next thing you know, there's a screen there, and then next thing you know, the glass is there and it's locked.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, sports, like I said, you think of all the teams in the past, and you know, you see, like, oh man, these guys had this 10-year window. They're going to be good for the next 10 years. They're going to win a bunch of championships, and then 5 years later, the whole team is stripped down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's worse than football, because football is an injury away from just making it even worse. And football is the one sport too where you can really get good in like a year or two, depending on the moves you make, right? So, but it's like but the window's never open for long. Like I think once you have a chance to take advantage, that's why with Buffalo, it's like try to rectify this soon, even though, you know, Allen's in the prime of his career. So that's why the window's open a little bit longer. But again, all it takes is an injury, a serious injury. So it's like, if you're an opportunity to get a chance to win the Super Bowl, and everybody says it's the best year to do it, but to me, I always said, it's not just Kansas City that's going to retool. You have a bunch of teams in the AFC that are like, they're looking good. Yeah. They're looking good. And some of these hires, like, you know, I know everybody's like praising the pickup of a defensive guy, and like, Cam Ward's probably going to get better. You know, they're probably going to end up making some moves, to bolster some talent around them. And you know what I mean? That's what you're going to want to see. So to me, I'm like, you just don't know who's going to be coming up the pipeline, or you just don't know when that window opens again, like, fully, you know?
Yeah. Calvin, I agree with you, man. I mean, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe us, ask the Bengals, ask Dallas, ask Baltimore. Like, these are all teams within the past 5-6 years. Right. They were on top. Like, at one point, Baltimore had the best defense and the best offense, right? And look at them this year. They were not good.
Exactly.
You know? Dallas, at one point, past couple years, Dallas was on top. Number one offense. Fantastic defense. One and done, right? So, I mean, all these teams have a very narrow window when you look at players specifically, like, the average life of a football player is like 4 or 5 years, right? Anybody who makes it beyond that is an anomaly. But I mean, you have a good 4 or 5 years to basically make your money. It's enough time to get at least one really good contract before either you have an injury or you just plain get old. Because it's a young man's game. So, I mean, I heard you saying, especially with Josh Allen, every year we say the same thing. I feel like we had this exact conversation last year, too, in terms of Buffalo. They're one piece away.
Yep.
And it's, you know, that one piece away, they're just pissing away Josh Allen's prime.
It's a great point about Cincinnati, though, because Cincinnati had that window, too. And now most of their salary cap is tied into three players, and their defense sucks, and their O-line is shaky. You know what I mean? Like, their offense is good, but the defense is atrocious. And unless they go in the draft and basically, you know, hit a home run on every pick that they make in the draft, like, it's gonna take a while for them to get better, at least consistently defensively. But by the time they actually get to do that, now Jamar Chase is a little bit older. Now T. Higgins is a little older. You know, like, Joe Burrow doesn't even stay healthy that long. So, it's a tough beat. You guys said you got to jump through the window when you can, brother, because if you don't, you know where this can go. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, man, I remember when Josh Allen, remember when that guy was like elite? What happened to him? All of a sudden, that's it. That window's gone.
Yeah. It's sad, but it's the reality of the game. Anybody who watches the game, they know that, right?
So before we go, because I don't want to get your predictions right now. I mean, I kind of know who you're going to take because, you know, rightfully so, you should be biased. Yeah, yeah. Well, rightfully so, you should be biased. But, you know, we can break all that stuff down next week. But, like, going forward, like, what were your like, general thoughts on the championship games that just passed? Because, I mean, like I said, there were the NFC championship game was well played. That was a great game. Like,
that was a fantastic.
Even though I hate both of those teams, it was a great game. It was an awesome game.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, definitely two powerhouses. That's for sure. Going at it. You know, I like both teams. I like LA. I love Seattle. I just felt that Seattle's defense is really what did it. Like, they were able to shut down Puka Nacua. You know, Adams didn't really do that much. Just Seattle just did a really good job, you know, playing them. And I mean, these are two division rivals, right? So this is like the third time they're playing them. So every time they played them, it was a battle and it was a great game. You know, it was just two high power offenses, yeah. Two high power defenses. I felt like LA's defense just wasn't as good as Seattle's defense. And, you know, you look at Njigba. He had like over 148 yards. I think he pulled down like 12 passes and a touchdown. So they didn't really have an answer for him. And I felt like that was the big thing there. And then Kenneth Walker, he basically ran all over them. So, I mean, LA's a great team. They probably have to beef up their defense a little bit more. But one thing's for sure, they got to figure out what's going on with Stafford. I mean, Stafford hurt his back at the beginning of this year. They weren't even sure he was going to play during the season, right? So, I mean, I don't know. He might actually retire at the end of this year. Like, what is there for him to play for? He's already won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, they need to start looking at what's the succession plan after him.
No, but he could definitely play another year, though. Like, that. Listen, I mean, even the way that game finished, I mean, that was an amazing pass with Nacua, man. He just couldn't get out of bounds in time. But, man, that was... Like, Stafford is still playing great, but to your point, like, he started off the season with a terrible back injury that he, you know, it ended up holding up all year. But, you know, at 36 years old coming in, can you maintain that again another year? And again, this is football. This isn't basketball. This isn't hockey. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, this is football. It's like this is a full contact sport.
It is.
You know?
It is. It's more along the lines of what your body could take.
Can you maintain that? I don't know. That's to your point.
Yeah, I definitely think he has one more year. Probably what's going to happen most likely is they're going to draft somebody, and they're just going to have him sit for a year behind Stafford. You know, or I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Stafford's had enough. I don't know. You know, he's most likely going to be the MVP. So maybe he just wants to go out on top. I don't know.
And that succession plan isn't bad, right? Have a guy stay with Stafford for a year, let him learn the ropes, and then now if he's good now you can go and spend big money on all this talent, knowing that you have like a three-four year pocket before you have to pay this quarterback, right?
Exactly.
So it's that circle of life, that rookie QB circle of life. Like, you gotta just, you know, once you get in there, you gotta make sure you circle all the wagons, and so you have to start paying this guy. Yeah. Big money.
Well, that's it. You have a window, right? And I mean, that's one of the perks of getting a rookie. One of the downfalls of getting a rookie is the fact that he's a rookie and their first year is pretty much a write-off. But after that, if the rookie is half decent, you just
Roger
fill
that.
It with talent. Yeah. Bring in a lot of high salary guys, top tier guys, and you're good for at least the next 3-4 years until, you know, you have to pay them, right? So that makes sense.
Yeah. So, no, like I said, so going forward, I mean, like I said, we'll break down the Super Bowl next week, and then, you know, break down all our picks and stuff for the pick early, man. Like, I don't want to say. See, for me, like, I don't hate the Patriots, right? I don't hate them, but for you guys to have this success again this soon. It feels like it doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel right. Shout out to the good draft y'all did. You know, it doesn't feel right. And then you know, every time out and out of the Patriots are back, you know, like they never left. And then what's my alternative? Seattle? I want Seattle to have a basketball team. I don't want them to keep winning Super Bowls.
I hear you, Kelly. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But you know what? Patriot Nation, we'll welcome you in. Come. You can be a bandwagon fan for that one game. How about that? Just to stick it to Seattle.
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm good.
But with
that said though, man, thank you, you know, as always for hopping on, man, and talking NFL, man, talking football and everything else. I keep teasing. I'm gonna wait obviously till after the season's over, but we got we definitely gotta get together to break down the a classic NFL, not NFL, but football movie from back in the day called The Program. We still gotta do that. That is still sitting in the tuck. We gotta get that one done, pretty much right after the season's over. So we gotta work on that one.
Oh, let's do it, man! Absolutely, I love that movie. I still watch it at least once a month, so I'm down. Definitely in my rotation.
Where would Latimer fit in this day and age? Where would Latimer fit in this day and age right now?
Listen, Latimer. Latimer would probably be foaming at the mouth in some penitentiary somewhere, because that man took way too many hits to the fucking head, and putting your head through side windows is never a good idea. So yeah, but old school, man, I love it.